Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord and bless God, each and everyone who are listening in to us this evening. We count it a blessing, we count it an honor, and we count it a joy to be here before you this evening with this, our sixth annual end of the year Holy Ghost filled revival. Hallelujah, God. It is just, I just think it's amazing what God is doing as he has brought us together for the sixth year in a row to end the old year and to begin the new year in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Our topic this year for revival is the secret place. Hallelujah, God. No, we don't have any little fancy quote and all the little cliches that everybody's running around doing this year. God said, no, we're not going to do that. What we need y'all to do is to remind the people that if they want all them cliches, everybody calling on and calling out to come to fruition, then they have got to learn how to come into the secret place of the Most High God. Amen. I'm just excited. We have for you this evening with me Elder Elisha Cooper, who will be introducing the speaker for the hour officially. And I just think that it's a blessing that on Christmas evening, we have Reverend Dr. Christmas to bring forth a word. Hallelujah, God. So we are not going to hold anyone up with form and formality. I am going to read our theme scripture for this year's revival, which can be found in Psalms chapter 91, verse 1. Again, it is Psalms chapter 91, verse 1. I'll be reading the scripture. Immediately after the scripture, we are going to be ministered to in music by Benjamin Israel in his song, The Secret Place. After that, Elder Elisha Cooper will be coming on to introduce the man of God. So if you could join me at Psalms 91, verse 1, and I'll be reading from the King James Version. And it simply says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Hallelujah, God. It says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And again, that is Psalm 91, verse 1, and we know that the word of the Lord is already blessed. Amen. Now, we will be ministered to via music by Benjamin Israel in the song, The Secret Place. Immediately following, the next voice you will hear will be that of Elder Elisha Cooper. Haina na kabasadera la 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 bayadere ye na 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 kabarado la ya na na de la ya ile de kasalia da basadera. I will make the secret place my dwelling place forever. I will make the secret place my dwelling place forever. Lord, I will make the secret place my dwelling place. Away from the noise, away from destruction, hey! Away from the noise, oh, away from destruction, away from the night, away from destruction, in an accord, and I will make the secret
dwelling place. Forever, Lord, I will make this the green day my dwelling place. Forever away from the night, away from distractions ahead, away from the noise, oh yeah, 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 away from distractions, yeah, yeah. Lord, I will make my prayer house my dwelling place. Forever I will make this worship house my dwelling place. Forever, Lord, I will make this secret place my dwelling place. Forever, Lord, I will make this secret place my dwelling place. Forever, away from the noise, yeah, away from the structure, yeah, na na na, holy day. Away from the night, away from the structures, I will make the secret place my dwelling place. So many things may come to distract me, but I just want to be away from the noise. Lord, take me away from the noise. Away from the distractions, I will make the secret place my dwelling place. Forever, Lord, I will make the secret place my dwelling place. Away from the night, away from the distractions. Away from the noise, away from the distractions, Lord, I will bless my dwelling place. I will bless the secret place, my dwelling place.
Bless the name of the Lord. It is now preaching time. First, we want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas. But on tonight, we have a dynamic man of God who's going to bring the Word of God. We are confident that he can preach, that he can teach, and that he's going to declare everything that God has placed in his spirit. He is the pastor of Shalom Baptist Church in the Logan section of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And at this time, I'm going to turn it over to none other than the Reverend Dr. William Christmas Jr.
Good evening and God bless you, everyone. We thank God for this day, the day that he has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. We thank God for another Christmas season that we are able to go ahead and to be able to celebrate him. For Jesus is the reason for the season, and we thank God that we are here in this year of 2021 to be able to go ahead and to celebrate Jesus, the reason again for this season. I bring you greetings on behalf of Shalom Baptist Church, where I proudly serve as the pastor and servant leader, and to all of you who are gathered there out there tonight around the nation and around this world. We do praise God for you. Want to give a special recognition to Pastor Toy and thank you so much, Kingdom Purpose, for allowing me to be able to go ahead and to share with you and to bring to open this revival tonight. on Christmas Day to have Dr. Christmas, amen, to be with you all on this evening. And so tonight, the Lord has led me to this very familiar passage of Scripture that is found in the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2. And I'm going to ask you to go ahead and to read with me, to read with me. And I'm going to read this very familiar story, Matthew chapter 2. And it reads, starting at verse number 1. And it reads, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. Verse 3, it says, when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him. The word of God for the people of God and all God's people tonight with me, join in and say amen. Pray with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I do praise and thank you for this time, this opportunity to be able to go ahead and to proclaim your word on this evening. I pray, God, it is done with boldness and clarity. God, I ask you, God, that as I have pondered with you, God, that you would bring back into my remembrance the thoughts, God, that we have pondered on, that I might be able to speak a word of encouragement and hope on tonight as we help your people, God, tonight. We pray, God, that someone might get saved tonight under your amazing grace. God, I pray, God, that as I decrease, you will increase in me in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Have your angels to charge over me, God, and use my mouth as an instrument of your peace, God. Give me teaching and preaching power from on high, God. It is this I ask in Jesus' name, and the people of God say amen. My brothers and sisters, I want to be able to go ahead and preach from this particular thought on tonight as we kick off this revival, is the wrong concept of worship. I want to talk about the wrong concept of worship. I believe, my brothers and sisters, that it is important for all of us to understand that life is passing. Life, as we know it, it changes within the blink of an eye. Life can change suddenly and without any forewarning. And if you look at the time that we are currently living in, people are leaving this world very quickly, especially due to this COVID-19, this pandemic that we're living in now. We've lived in for the last 2 years or so. Life as we know it has changed, and it's changing for us rapidly. And so I want to examine just for a few moments the thought of life just happening that the Spirit had shared with me on tonight. I want to share with you that there are times when life happens that is a surprise to you. However, it's not a surprise to God. As a matter of fact, not only is it not a surprise to God, but he will set you up with the resources to handle your situations. Amen, somebody. God has the ability and God has the capability to present in the past, present and future, at the same time. However, because of our limited creatures, we are limited creatures, we are limited to just remembering the past, living in the present, and hoping for the future. When you look at it, you see that God lives and moves in the past, but we live in the past. God is alive right now and moving right now, but we live and move in the present time. God is alive right now and moving in the future, and we hope for the future and have no idea what the future will bring. And so I need to suggest to us tonight that, yes, the future is unknown. Yes, the future for us is uncertain. There is no one out there tonight that can say, I know what's going to happen next, because the truth of the matter is that no one knows what tomorrow will go ahead and bring. Psychics are nothing more than people with a false prediction. Palm readers are nothing more than money from the palm grabbers. And sidewalker fortune tellers are nothing more than fortune collectors. And the truth be told tonight is that some of us waste our time and money going to folk asking about the future who don't have a clue, who don't know a thing about the future. And even some of the people that we seek advice from have a limited perception of the future. And I've come to understand that you have to be wise. You have to be wise. And you have to be very careful who you seek advice about your decisions. Why? Because it's not wise, my brothers and sisters, to ask about money decisions from broke folks. Hello, somebody. It's not wise to ask about relationships and marriage decisions from single folks. It's not wise to ask about spiritual decisions from unbelievers. It's not wise to ask about work issues from unemployed folks. It's not wise to ask about baby issues from folk who have no kids. It's not wise to ask about men issues from women with no men. Hello, somebody. It's not wise to ask about car repair issues from folk who don't know gasoline from the windshield wiper fluid. And so what are you saying to me, Dr. Christmas? My point this evening is that when you go through the difficulties of life and you go through the difficulties of today, whether it's a health issue, whether it's relationship issues, or child issues, or financial problems, or other serious issues of this life, I want to let you know right here, right now, that just because your brother so-and-so, just because your sister so-and-so, you might be a minister, you might be a reverend, you might be a deacon, a deaconess, that life can't affect you. Matter of fact, Jesus said that you are in this world, and because you are going to have to deal with some ignorant, crazy, rude folks out there, you're going to have to deal with some issues in this world. You're going to have to face with some issues in this world. You're going to have to shed some tears in this world. But guess what, y'all? You are not of this world. Yes, you're going to go through these issues, but God has a way of setting things up in your situation tonight. And matter of fact, the Bible teaches us plainly that he has a way of creating a way of escape. He has a way of providing what you need before and during your trouble. God has a way of giving you what you need before and during your trouble. And I wish I had a witness out there tonight that can testify and say that, yes, I was going through my trouble, and he gave me just what I needed. I didn't know I needed, but God gave it to me just in the nick of time. I was about to get laid off. Somebody can testify tonight, but God had another job waiting on you. You was about to lose your kids, but God had someone waiting to help you. You was about to lose your home, but God had another place waiting for you. You was about to lose your health, but God had a better doctor waiting for you. You was about to lose your mind. You was about to go cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, but God had some people ready to help you. And I wonder, is there anybody out there tonight that can just thank God that he was right there to step in just when you needed him the most? You just needed him the most. God was able to go ahead and step in when you needed him the most. And I thank God tonight. I thank God for what he has done in my life. And I can testify tonight, and I'm hoping that somebody out there can testify with me on tonight, And thank God that he has given you and I the anointing and the ability to be able to go through the tough and rough spots of life without falling apart. Amen, somebody. And I don't know about you, but I thank God that he has given me the ability to be able to go through some difficult moments without flipping out, to be able to go ahead and deal with haters and hell raisers without going postal. I thank God that he has given me the ability to be able to confront my critics, to live through the ridicule, to survive the negativity, to deal with the battle of backstabbers, and even step aside silly folks. I thank God that God has given me the ability to be able to get to my boiling point without boiling over. I thank God on tonight. I thank God that he is on my side. And somebody ought to thank God just for a second or two. Thank God that God is on your side and God is here tonight with you. And you've made it this far. And so I want to get to the text. And so as we get to the text on tonight, tonight as we gather here on this network, we're not here not to dialogue. I'm not here to dialogue about political issues of the day. I'm not here to talk about the presence and the gifts that I received today, but we are here tonight for one simple thing, and that's to be able to go ahead and to worship. We're gathered here tonight over the phone, on the internet, wherever you may be in this country or in this world, you have gathered here to worship. And so we are not doing anything new today that our ancestors in the faith did. People may change, my brothers and sisters. Buildings may look different when you look at the different instruments and stuff that we may even use in church on every Sunday. The instruments may change from what it used to be, but our purpose remains the same. We come to worship because we are designed to be a people of worship. And over my years of ministry, I have noticed that there are people who come to church every Sunday, people who come to different church services throughout the week, but have yet to worship. And just because a person shows up to a building or a place where the sign says church or a worship center does not mean that they have come to worship God through worship. The truth of the matter is that there are a lot of people who don't have a clue of what spiritual worship is all about. And so, my brothers and sisters, as we look at this particular text tonight, we find that it is centered upon these two main characters in the text. First, there is King Herod, and then there is the wise men. And so I want to look at Herod as our case of study regarding worship tonight. And so Herod's acts and attitudes gives us three things I want to look at very quickly to stay away from when it comes to spiritual worship. My first point I want to make tonight is don't pretend. Don't pretend. When you read and look at this particular text, help me, Holy Ghost. The first thing you will see is that all of a sudden Herod desires to speak with the wise. Y'all see it in the text. Herod, he's cunning and he pretends to be sincere as these men are and pretends to be concerned as they are about Christ Jesus, the child, and talks with them as a pretender. He's not a believer, and most importantly, he's not a worshiper. And saints of God, I want to drop this in your spirit tonight by telling you to don't waste your time and try to pretend to be as sincere as somebody else. Amen, somebody. Herod, watch this, did not meet with the wise men because he wanted to rejoice in the celebration of Jesus Christ who was born. Matter of fact, if Herod was that excited, he didn't need the wise men to celebrate. He didn't need the Magi to celebrate. And truth be told, if some of the saints would be sincere about true worship and excited about worship, you would realize you don't need your instruments in church. You don't need a piano. You don't need a keyboard. You don't need the bass guitar. You don't need the organ. You don't need the singers and the ushers and the deacons and the preacher to go ahead and worship. Why? Because worship isn't about the people and the stuff that's in the church, in the sanctuary, but worship is all about him. Can I put some Bible on it tonight? The Bible says, the prophet Isaiah said this, when I went to church, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Why? Because it's all about him. It's not about them. It's all about him. And my brothers and sisters, most people who pretend to worship think that you can hide in a worship setting. Lord have mercy. But the truth of the matter is that you can't pretend in worship. Why can't you pretend in worship, Dr. Christmas? Well, I'm glad you asked, because worship is God-centered and not you-centered. Let me say that again. Worship is God-centered and not you-centered. And no matter how much you try, you can look churchy on the outside. You can go ahead and come into church with your best hat, with your Christmas outfit on. You can come in with a three-piece suit. You can come in with your Stacy Adams shoes. You can come in with your red bottoms, look good on the outside. You can fool people in your row in church. You can fool people in your section. You can maybe even fool the pulpit. But on the inside, watch this. God knows you're still empty and hollow because you are really not a worshiper. If it got mighty quiet out there tonight and nobody said amen, if you can't say amen, you better say ouch, because I plan on stepping on somebody's toes tonight. Help me, Holy Ghost, bring this back to me. I have quickly learned that those who are pretenders measure the greatness of the worship experience on how they were moved, or how they sang, or how they felt, or did they get a bulletin with all the things that they're used to getting and seeing in one, or did they get the program that they're used to seeing, or was their name in the program. They measure the greatness of the worship experience on how good it was to them. But I wonder tonight, is there anybody out there tonight that can testify that a real worshiper knows that worship is not dependent upon how you feel or how well someone may sing or how well the song may have went or how great the sermon was, but spiritual worship is successful when God is pleased with what? My worship. And I've learned a long time ago, my brothers and sisters, that people who can pat you on the back for your worship skills have a strange saying, I enjoyed you. Oh, I enjoyed you, brother such and such. I enjoyed you, pastor such and such. I enjoyed you, sister such and such. But I don't want them to enjoy the music that is played. I don't want them to enjoy the scripture that I read. I don't want them to enjoy the eloquence of my sermon. But I want them to worship God in such a true, pure way that he can look at me and say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. And I wonder, is there anybody out there tonight that can agree with me and say, Dr. Christmas, I don't want people to go ahead and say the strange thing. I enjoy you. I enjoy whatever you do and whatever gifts you have. That's all fine and dandy. But I want my worship to go ahead and be so pure and true that God himself can go ahead and look at me and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. And so I'm thankful tonight. And so, Lord Jesus, I'm reminded as I continue to go ahead and read it in the Bible that it says this, that those that worship him must worship him and do so in spirit and in truth. So, in other words, the first point I wanted to make is don't pretend. The text is showing us tonight that Herod pretended. So, which this brings me to my second point. My second point is, my first point was don't pretend. The second point is don't send. Don't send. And so, in the text, we see as we look at the text, Herod says, I need to send you to find the Christ child. You said you saw his star, and that led you to Jerusalem. And so my advisors say he's in Bethlehem, and I need to send you to find him for me. I need to send you to find him for me. My brothers and sisters, one of the worst worship habits you can develop is to send someone to find Jesus for you. Lord, have mercy. I wish I had a witness out there tonight. Let me tell you something. You need to know the Lord for yourself, and you must worship him for yourself. It reminds me of a song that my mama used to play on her record player. If you don't know me by now, you will never, never, never know me. I wish I had a witness out there. Any oldies folks that know what I'm talking about. And so now you look at the text here. It says Herod could have went for himself if he was sincere about worshiping the Lord. But instead of going for himself, Herod decides to send spiritually connected people to go find Jesus, the Christ child. And this goes to show that some people are just like Herod. They are spiritually lazy. They want you to pray for them. They want you to read for them. They want you to sing for them. They want you to study for them. They want you to worship for him, them. They want you to dance for them, to shout for them, to meditate for them. They want you to go to Bible study for them. They want you to go to these different meetings for them. And even, watch this, give for them. And while they're doing all this, while they sit back at home or in the sanctuary and watch someone else do their worshiping for them, and then have a nerve to brag at the church, church was sure enough good. And they think they've been to worship. No, they went to see other people worship. Lord, have mercy. And my brothers and sisters, spiritual worship is vitally important for us. It's so important that you can't delegate the responsibility of worship to someone else. You can't allow somebody else to wave their hands for you. You can't let somebody else clap their hands for you. You can't let nobody else shout for you. You can't let nobody else go ahead and open their mouth and bless the Lord for you, because they don't have the experiences, watch this, and the testimonies that you have. What are you saying to me, Dr. Christmas? I'm glad you asked. Let's walk down memory lane. They haven't been to the doctor's office and been healed like you have. They haven't had misbehaved kids like you had, and now they're walking with God. They haven't had a husband to walk out, and now God has given you a better man than you ever had. They haven't, watch this, lost their job like you have and made it on bits and pieces and crumbs and coupons like you had. They haven't had to cry all night long only to discover that God has to wipe all God has wiped all the tears from their eyes. They haven't had to hear the doctors say, we found something in the test, like you have, and you're now still here at the doctor's, and the doctor is now long gone and retired, and you're still living. They don't have your testimony. And I wish I had about three or four witnesses out there tonight that can say, I will not delegate my worship. I refuse to let someone to do my praise for me, because they can't praise him like I can praise him. Why? Because the songwriter says, can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. They can't do and praise God like I can praise God. They can't outpraise me. They can't outshout me. They can't outrun me, because you don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. And I wonder, is there anybody out there tonight that can testify on this network and say that God has brought them from a mighty long way, and that's the reason why I praise him. That's the reason why I worship him. That's the reason why I shout and do the things that I do for God, because if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, where would I be? I wish I had a witness out there tonight. Lord, have mercy. You see, I tell my church all the time that I refuse to come to church and become one of the frozen chosen. Lord, have mercy. I don't want to be a member of or pastor a frozen church. I'm not going to let the choir do all the singing for me in the church. I'm not going to let the people do all the praising for me. I'm not going to let someone do all the praying for me and all the worshiping for me. I'm not going to let the one person do all of the shouting for me. But I'm going to move from the being a couch potato Christian section and move into the worship section. And I wonder, is there anybody out there that says, Dr. Christmas, I want to go ahead and move into the right worship section. I'm fed up with frozen worship. I'm fed up with frozen church folks, stale ministry that ain't doing nothing new, but I want to go ahead and move to the worship section in the church, and I thank God for what he has done for me. Lord, have mercy. Listen. This just came to me. Listen, it's like this. Look, it's like your doctor telling you that you need to exercise more, and he says you need to be out there walking or running for at least 30 minutes a day, and then you see your neighbor outside walking, and you pull over while driving your car, and you eating fried chicken and cheeseburgers and french fries and drinking Pepsi and saying, look, I'm kind of busy today. I got a hectic schedule. Could you do my walking for me today? I come to serve you notice tonight. Don't you let the Lord's prescription for your worship get filled by somebody else. Lord, have mercy. I got to get to the text. I got to hurry up. So Herod says, not only do I need to send you, I need you to go ahead and intensify the search. Leave no stone unturned. Do what you can. Look everywhere. Don't take any shortcuts. Work as long as necessary. But if I was there, my brothers and sisters, my question would have been for Herod, what are you going to do while all of this is going on? And sometimes even in church services, we allow other people to worship and praise God while we do other things. Mainly what we do is we relax and not participate in worship. And there are too many people in the church that have become spectators rather than participators. Lord, have mercy tonight. And it even translates into where we sit at in church. Think about it. We want the singers in the choir stand. We want the preachers in the pulpit. We want the deacons on the front row. We want the musicians on the instruments. We want the ushers on the floor and at the door. We want the lively people in the front. But if you want to chill out in church, guess what? There's one place you're going to go ahead and go in church. I'm glad you asked. Well, where do we go, Dr. Christmas? Well, I'm glad you asked. They sit in the back of the church. And it's getting so bad with us that worship is becoming a spectator sport. But I've come to suggest tonight that we should have some singers in the back of the church. There ought to be some servers on the left side of the church, some missionaries on the right side of the church, some prayer warriors on the end of pews. There ought to be some lively people all the way around the church. Don't come to church to be entertained. Don't come to church to let a devotional team or a praise team do your praise. Don't come to church to get your rest. Don't come to church to go ahead and catch up on sleep. But come to church to worship. And so my point was, number one, don't pretend. Number two is don't sin. And my last point is this, don't depend. First point, don't pretend. Second point, don't sin. My third point is don't depend. Herod says, I know when you find him, you will worship him. And so it's suggested by him in the text by saying that I may also worship him. My brothers and sisters, one of the most personal, wonderful, significant, and life-changing experiences that you can have in this life as a Christian is to worship the Lord. Worship is not a cookie-cutter group and expression. Worship, it is a personal experience. It's not reserved for delegation to someone else. And you cannot depend on someone else to perform your acts of worship for you. Worship, my brothers and sisters, is personal. You see, worship in the Old Testament involved a movement. They gave offerings. They bowed down. They bowed their knees. They planted their foreheads on the ground. They jumped. They danced. And they worshiped God. Their worship was mostly outward expressions. But in the New Testament, the worship is not just want you to do, not just to do with your hands, but Jesus takes it a step further. Those that worship him, as I stated before, must worship him in spirit and in truth. It then becomes personal. However, spiritual worship means that you worship the way that God has given it to you to worship, and you don't depend on someone else to perform your acts of worship for you. Why? Because it's too personal of a matter. And many of us out there tonight, we have grown up and grew up in homes that had worshiping parents. They worship the Lord at the church, and you can hear them praying, and you can hear them singing and worshiping in the house. They gave their tithes. They gave their offering. They prayed before every meal. They prayed before you went to school. They prayed before you went to bed. And now they are either aged or going home to be with the Lord. But by now, you should be able to worship the Lord by yourself. Why? Because of what you have learned. You've got a legacy to leave with your children. The reason why some children don't worship the Lord is because they don't see mom and dad worship the Lord anymore. Amen, somebody. If you can't say amen, you better say ouch. They don't see the Lord being worshiped because their parents are not worshiping the Lord anymore. But you need to have your own moments of worship, and you can't worship on the group plan. You have to worship God for yourself. If the wise men would have worshiped like Herod would have worshiped, it would have met a dead worship experience. Lord have mercy, somebody. Herod, watch this. Herod, he had problems with Jesus. He had problems with Jesus. He didn't want to share his so-called glory with Jesus. He didn't have any respect for Jesus. He didn't love Jesus. And it would have met a very dry, dull, and dead worship experience. But when the text says, when these wise men, as you read further, arrived at the child's house, they fell at his feet. They brought an offering, a gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And the problem here is that we can be intercessors for each other in prayer, but we cannot depend on each other to worship for us. You can't depend on people, and you don't gain any personal benefits, watch this, from people worshiping for you. I've seen many churches that have special events like revivals and Bible studies, conferences, and all these other things. And some people don't go to the first or second night, but they'll call somebody who went and they'll ask, how was it or how did it go? They didn't want to go, but they wanted you to go to check it out for them. What they are saying is that I'm too important to go. Check it out and let me know how it is. And if it's good, guess what? I'll go. And so I'm about to get ready to close tonight, but Pastor Troy and King of Purpose, I thank you for the invitation, and I hope to be here again with you. But until then, I pray that the Lord God will bless you real good. But I want to tell you this last point, is that Herod says, send me word of what you found, And then he says, I'll join you. And so I stopped by this evening to tell you that you shouldn't put off worshiping God today because you may never get that opportunity again. Don't have the wrong concept of worship. And some of you are out there today, you're feeling good, you're looking good, you are feeling fine, and God has truly blessed you. And while you're out there, you ought to take the time to go ahead, before you go to bed tonight, to worship him. Don't wait until you get to the sanctuary to worship him, but worship him now. Don't wait until sickness comes to worship him. Don't wait until you lose your job to worship him. Don't wait until there's trouble in the home to worship him. Don't wait until your bills are due to worship him, but worship him while you have a chance. Worship him. Why? Because he's been that good to you. You may have not have much, but a little is better than nothing. Worship him because he took care of you all last night. Worship him because he has kept you throughout 2021. Worship him because he has protected you. He has encouraged you and he has strengthened you. Worship him because it could have been you. It could have been you in the grave. Worship him because it could have been another way for you. Worship him because it could have been you who have lost your job. You could have lost your home. You could have lost your family. You have to learn to worship him. But when you learn to worship him in spirit and truth, I want to let you know that the worst can meet the best. When you worship Jesus and you have the right concept of worship, the sinner can meet the saints. When you learn to worship him in spirit and in truth, the bitter can meet with the sweet. The bad can meet with the good. The servant can meet with the master. The creature can now meet with the creator. My brothers and sisters, learn to give God your very best in worship. Come on and bless the Lord with me on tonight, and let us exalt his name together. Don't give God, my brothers and sisters, I'm getting ready to close. Don't give God the limits. Don't give him a dare. Don't give him some. Don't give him a drop. Don't do it every now and then. Don't wait till everybody calls your name. But when there's sickness in your body, when there's trouble in your way, when all hell hounds are on your track, when you're crying all night long, when you're burdened down with the weight of the world on your shoulders, go on and praise his name and worship him. Go on and give him glory. Go on and tell him thank you. Go on and say hallelujah. Go on and say, I give you the glory, honor, and praise. Praise him when you feel bad. Praise him when you feel good. Praise him when there's sickness in your body. Praise him when you're down and out. Why? Because he is worthy of all glory, honor, and praise. Don't have the wrong concept of worship. Worship him because he's worthy of everything. And if you believe it, you ought to do what the Bible says. Let me put some Bible on it tonight. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And if the Lord has done something good for you, you ought to say so. If you have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, you ought to say so. You see, if God has done anything good for you, which I know he has, you ought to say so. If God has delivered you, you ought to say so. If God has saved your soul, you ought to say so. If God has blessed you, you ought to say so. Guess what, y'all? If God woke you up this morning and started you on your way, you ought to say so. If God has brought you from a mighty long way, you ought to say so. My brothers and sisters, we ought to not have the wrong concept of worship. Why? Because as believers, we have a great opportunity to tell the world that this is the right reason to celebrate the season, and his name is Jesus, that Jesus is real. Tell them that Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me. Let me take a moment to go ahead and testify. I can testify that he came down from his throne in glory. Glory left glory to come down in his glory in a manger. He came down through 42 and generations. He came to this world to bring salvation. His name name is Emmanuel. His name is Jesus. His name is Wonderful Counselor. He was Jesus who was born in a manger. He was baptized in the Jordan River. He ministered in flesh. He walked on water. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He was arrested in a garden. He was tried in many courts. He was carried on up in the hill. He carried a cross. He was crucified on a hill. He died on an old rugged cross. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. But how many know that early one Sunday morning, Jesus got up with all power in his hands? And because he got up with all power in his hands, we can go ahead and give him all the glory. We can give him all the honor. We can go ahead and worship him because he is worthy of everything. He's worthy. He thought that our life was worth living, and so that's why he died for us. And I'm so glad tonight that I had made up in my mind a long time ago that I'm not going to pretend about worship. I'm not going to go ahead and send nobody to worship me, and I'm not going to depend nobody to worship on me, because when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. I thank God for saving me. If you ought to lift your hands and say, God, I thank you for every mountain you brought me over. God, I thank you for the valleys you have saw me through. God, I thank you that you've had angels to watch over me all night and all day. And for that, I give you my worship. I give you my very best. I thank you for tonight. I thank you, God, for allowing me to go ahead and share this word on tonight. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. There may be one tonight, I want to take the time, there may be one tonight that may not know Jesus Christ in the pardon of your sins. And so the Bible says that we have all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. Even me. Every day I fall short of the glory of God. Doesn't matter what your title is. Doesn't matter how long you've been in church. We've all fallen short. It reminds us, the Bible reminds us, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is of eternal life. And then it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Tonight, I want to know if there's anyone tonight that wants to be able to go ahead and give their life to Christ on tonight, to be able to go ahead and have a personal relationship. Don't pretend to have a relationship with him. Don't send someone to have a relationship with him for you. And don't depend on anyone else, because when it's all said and done and the Lord calls us home, you can't go ahead and ask someone to stand before you as you stand before the Master, our Creator. And if you stand before tonight, before the God was to call you home from this earth, will you lie in heaven or hell? And so tonight, if there's one tonight that wants to be able to go ahead and give their life to Christ, I want you to simply just say this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I confess you as my Lord and Savior. I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. So please come into my heart and walk with me, talk with me, and carry me along this way. I put my faith and my trust in you. I confess you to be Lord over my life. You are in control. In Jesus' name, amen. There may be one tonight also that has been out of fellowship with the Lord for quite some time. The Bible reminds us in Jeremiah 3:14 that God is married to the backslider. And so if you don't have a relationship with the Lord, or you have fallen away, you can never be too far to the left or right. You can never be too deep that the Lord can't reach out his hand to be able to go ahead and grab you. The Lord doesn't have to be found. We are the ones that's lost. And so if you're lost tonight, I invite you to be able to go ahead and to rededicate your life to Christ on tonight. There may be one that's looking for a church home. We have many churches around this world. I encourage you to don't be a homeless Christian. There should be no homeless Christians in the church. And so tonight, if you're looking for a church home, we invite you to go ahead and to find a place where you can be able to go ahead and worship freely. Get yourself in a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. Get yourself under a good pastor. For the Bible reminds us in Jeremiah 3:15 that he will give you pastors according to his own heart, who shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And so we invite you to go ahead and find a good place of worship. I pray God's blessings on you tonight.
And the people of God said, amen. We want to thank Dr. Christmas for that word on tonight. He made some very key points. Don't pretend, don't send, and don't depend. But what dropped in my spirit, as a preacher, you know something, you get something from every other preacher, was after the wise men worshipped him, they did not expose Jesus' secret place. They just kept moving. They worshipped and they kept moving. They never exposed him to the enemy. And we have to get to that place where we don't expose each other to the enemy. But on tonight, we just thank God for Dr. Christmas. We want to pray his strength, and we want to pray God's favor to continue to flow through his life. On tomorrow night, I will be bringing the word. So meet us back tomorrow at 9 p.m. Tomorrow night at 9 p.m. for our second night of revival. We're going to ask Dr. Christmas to close us out in prayer. Until we meet again, blessings and favor.
Thank you all for having me on tonight. I pray that this word was a blessing to you and that you would go to your prospective places tomorrow with the right concept of worship. Don't pretend, don't sin, and don't depend on anyone to worship the Lord for you. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father God, we do praise and we thank you for tonight. We thank you for this first night of revival. We thank you, God, for another day that we're able to go ahead and to celebrate on this Christmas day, to be able to celebrate this season, the remembrance of Jesus, the Prince of Peace, the light of the world, our faith, our hope, our love, our joy that has come into this world to be a light, to be able to shine in this dark and wicked world. We're thankful for this unspeakable gift of Jesus Emmanuel, God with us. And so, Father, we thank you for all those that were listening on tonight. We thank you for this pastor and this network, God, to be able to go ahead and bring forth the gospel tonight in many different ways. We pray, God, that tonight your people were blessed by it. We pray that someone was encouraged. We pray that someone got saved and someone's mind was renewed and spirit was renewed. God, I ask you, God, to continue to strengthen them in whatever they need. Whatever their prayer request is tonight that's within their hearts, I pray, God, that you would incline your ear to their lips and hear their faintest cry in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. God, I ask you, God, as we go to sleep tonight, God, that you would give us good rest. Whatever it is, God, whatever rest that we get, God, that you would double it in the name of Jesus Christ. If it's 3 hours, let it feel like six. If it's four, let it feel like eight. If it's six, let it feel like 12. In the name of Jesus Christ, allow us, God, to be able to go ahead and have a good evening on tonight. And if you see fit, God, we'll be able to wake up tomorrow rejoicing, saying, this is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Strengthen our faith, hope, and love. May we do with loving hearts what you ask of us and come to share the life you promise. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Jesus led.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Never wanna see me down, I will not lose.
He saved me.